What's up, Sixers fans? This is Sixers Talk Podcast presented to you by Wilmington University. I'm Ben Berry. No Danny Pommels today. He's working on some NFL drafts type stuff. But we have the one, the only, and the better, Noah Levick. How you doing today, Noah?
I don't know about better, but I'm doing all right. Yeah, doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We'll get into some points bet, Eastern Conference winner odds. We'll talk about some trade rumors, sign and trade with the hometown hero or hometown kid, Kyle Lowry, that made the rounds on the internet yesterday. But we'll start off with that shellacking the Sixers put on the Hawks in the last game. Whew. It's a lot of good, not much bad, if anything. I got a few ugly, but the Sixers played a great game from start to finish. They beat up on a bad team they were supposed to beat up on, and that's what the great teams are supposed to do.
Absolutely, yeah. Near flawless, I would say, if you're going to nitpick, I guess. Ben Simmons got into some foul trouble, and the half-court offense didn't look incredible for the first few minutes, but really outside of that, everything looked excellent from the Sixers. I have to apologize. In our last podcast, I briefly mentioned Trae Young, who was out, and not the only player out. Atlanta actually had six players sidelined. So, like you said, it was a game that the Sixers needed to take care of business, and they did that in emphatic fashion. Their best defensive performance, at least statistically, of the season, holding Atlanta to 83 points and 33.3% shooting, which you just don't normally see in an NBA game. So excellent performance defensively. The starters were all healthy and looked very strong when they played together. And again, the second unit with George Hill as the first guy coming off the bench performed well for the Sixers. And we saw this being something closer to what a playoff rotation will likely look like in terms of no traditional power forward in that second unit. You know, you had the four perimeter players and Dwight Howard. And yeah, like you said, everyone who appeared did well and was substantially better than the Atlanta Hawks last night.
Yeah, the Sixers have to win that game. They're the more talented team. But it went like Seth Curry playing phenomenal last night. He went through a little bit of a slump. Danny was down on him. But if the Joel Embiid plays well and Ben plays well, Tobias plays well, then you have Seth hitting the shots he hits. It makes it that much. It makes the Sixers that much more unbeatable. You mentioned George Hill being the first guy off the bench, which is something I like. It take the playmaking role duties off of Shake Milton and let him just be a scorer. And he doesn't have to facilitate and initiate the offense. So that was great to see. It put Ben at the fourth position, and it gives Tobias more time with the second unit. It was a great game from everyone all around. Besides Ben getting into foul trouble late in the second quarter, but he picked it. He came out hot and aggressive offensively in the beginning of the game, hit Furkan, and Furkan nailed a very difficult three. It was just a good game all around. I would have liked to see him be more efficient, but I feel like with that win, he's just nitpicking at this point. And the Sixers have just found a good way to win games. Riding B, then late in the game, give it to Tobias for him to close it out. Let Ben play stellar defense when he chooses to do so and come up with W's game in and game out. It was a fun game all around. We saw less Mike Scott. So hopefully that's something we'll see less of come the playoffs. But I thoroughly enjoyed what the Sixers did in that game. Not going to say I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, but I thoroughly enjoyed what the Sixers did in that game.
Yep. Yeah. Ben Simmons was excellent. In the first quarter of that game all around, I think that was a nice taste of what he is at the top of his game, which is just this player who is impacting basically every single possession of the game and is super valuable as a result. Yeah, I think Mike Scott receiving important minutes in the playoffs seems improbable. I think for me, it sure seems right now that, you know, Hill, Shake Milton, Dwight Howard, Matisse Thybulle, those are four guys who are going to play in the playoffs. And I think merit postseason minutes, quite frankly. I mean, we've talked obviously a ton about Matisse Thybulle and his value defensively. George Hill last night showed some burst for a 34-year-old. Couple driving dunks where you were a little taken aback by that athleticism and just the surge to the rim. And of course, just is an intelligent player. He's someone who knows how to play the game. You know, he knows where to position himself for team spacing. He's sharp with his defensive rotations. I've been impressed with the way he, you know, puts pressure on ball handlers without giving them wide open looks. You know, I think he's done really well on the defensive front. And Shake Milton, of course, has been important for the Sixers this year as a scorer off the bench. And I think just in general, those four players, you know, adding Howard in there as a backup five, that looks like a second unit that you can count on in the postseason. And they all look like players who deserve minutes. And then I think on the fringe, you know, you have Furkan Korkmaz and Tyrese Maxey. And Maxey has done a lot of nice things over the last few weeks. And Doc Rivers has talked a few times about liking the way he's getting all the way to the rim versus settling for, you know, floaters and mid-range shots. And Maxey has done good work with changing his pace and just playing under control and using his speed to his advantage, you know, as opposed to just playing at a single pace that opponents can maybe handle a little easier. So you like the development from him. But to me, at least just right now, it seems like he's someone who plays in a situation last night where Shake Milton picked up, I believe, 3 first half fouls and Maxey got a few minutes there in the second quarter. It just appears unlikely that he's someone who is playing every single night. And I would say the same for Furkan Korkmaz as things currently stand. You know, missed, you know, I believe it's just one game with that right ankle sprain, but just as far as what he brings to the table, you know, the Sixers love his shooting. They love that he puts up jumpers, but the defense is not reliable the way it is for those other players we mentioned who you figure will be fixtures on the Sixers bench come the postseason.
Yeah, no, all fair points. I like to see Maxey play anytime he gets the opportunity. And it's you definitely see the growth in his rookie year. He makes defenders just look silly now. He's getting more and more knowledge and understanding at this pro level, just to change the pace and the speed. It's great to watch. Something I wanted to point out before we wrap this segment. What does it say about you if you nearly start a fight with Matisse Thybulle? I'm talking about Chris Dunn. Like, that has to make you one of the biggest jerks in the league, doesn't it?
I don't know about that, but that says something. I think more than anything, I just see it as an extremely, extremely irritating, frustrating night for the Hawks, but didn't look like Thybulle did anything particularly wrong on this play. And he's obviously, you know, a likable guy from all we know. But yeah, when you're getting crushed by whatever it was at that stage, 35 or 40 points, and I guess Thybulle, you know, makes the spectacular, like, one-handed high-flying layup. And then I looked to me like he was just going to high-five a teammate. And right. I guess that rubbed Chris Dunn the wrong way. And then you have Trae Young on the bench a minute or two later getting a technical foul, like apparently crossing some sort of verbal line. with the officials. So yeah, they showed him, you know, on the Jumbotron in his street clothes, you know, and Sixers fans love that, you know, him not having an impact on the game in a positive sense, but picking up it.
One thing I'm looking forward to when the league gets back to an 82 game schedule and it's just more days off and space between games is I think the competitiveness and just the overall product would be better. Cause I mentioned earlier, it was nice to see the Sixers win last night and see things they've improved on, but the game overall wasn't good. And it's been a lot of games, not specifically to the Sixers, but specifically overall to the league. I'm not sure how many games you watch when the Sixers aren't playing. It just seems like it's been a lot of bad basketball. Just as you mentioned, George Hill had that dunk last night where he had a open lane to the basket. And it's just been a lot of that this year. So I'm hoping when they get back to 82 games, we see a little bit more competitiveness. Players are a little healthy, not getting injured because they're playing back-to-backs or every other night as often.
Agreed. It's been an incredibly difficult season for everyone involved in pulling it off. And yeah, I think incredibly frustrating for teams who are often in that position where they head into a game with five or six players out because quite rightly the medical folks are being smart about health. And you just know realistically heading into a game like that, that everything has to break your way to win. Nate McMillan, the Hawks interim coach, even joked before the game that he might have to suit up. You know, they were so shorthanded. And I think they go into that game feeling that they've got no realistic shot of winning. And that's not a good mentality to have a team, but it's also an accurate assessment of the situation. So yeah, it's been tough, and you know, I commend all the players who are gritting this out and playing for folks' entertainment. You know, during a pandemic, it's obviously not an ideal situation from a physical or mental health standpoint for, you know, and also for the staffers involved in making sure the teams are adhering to all these daily protocols, and you know, the travel aspect is difficult too. So yeah, you would think that next season things will be a little closer to normal, and that will be a positive across the board, including in the level of play and less stars missing games due to injuries.
Start college, build skills, and complete your degree with Wilmington University. 100% online options and affordable tuition make WilmU work for you. Learn more at wilmu.edu.
Noah, let's check out the odds from our friends over at PointsBet. The Sixers are third right now to come out the Eastern Conference, with the Nets at one, the Bucks at two. The Sixers are currently plus 425. How do you feel about those odds?
Definitely understand the Nets still being one. I can somewhat understand Milwaukee being two, given they swept the season series, at least in the regular season, against the Sixers. But the Sixers still, with 10 regular season games remaining, have a decent chance, I would think, of getting the number one seed. They're a game back of the Nets, and they have the easiest remaining schedule. So if the Sixers get the number one seed, they have a very viable path to the Eastern Conference title. So yeah, that's interesting to hear. Again, the Sixers, at least this iteration of the team, hasn't proved it in the playoffs, perhaps quite in the same way as the Bucks, at least, you know, thus far. But the Nets, this team hasn't proven it either. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how it plays out. I think the Sixers, if they get that number one seed, have a real shot at it.
Yeah, I found it intriguing, but as you said, maybe it's because the Bucks have swept the season series. I think the key is who ends up with that number one seed. They'll avoid the other two teams until the Eastern Conference Finals. So, hey, if you'd like to make money, go over to pointsbet.com, see what you can do.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Noah, rumors came out recently that the Sixers are interested in the hometown kid, Kyle Lowry. Whether it be a sign and trade, his contract is up at the end of the year. Some people are excited about it. I don't know how much of a guarantee this is. What do you make of this news?
Not surprising in light of them, you know, according to many reports, having interest before the trade deadline and being one of three teams along with the Heat and Lakers to, you know, be in that conversation and making calls to the Raptors because of a desire to land Lowry. So that interest would persist, I don't think is surprising. I think it's, to me, frankly, something that we'll all have a better gauge on once this season is over. But all of the reasons that Lowry was appealing from a fit standpoint haven't disappeared. You know, there's the playoff experience, the leadership, and all of those non-strictly basketball qualities. And then there are all the basketball skills, you know, the ball handling, the idea of him potentially pairing really well with Ben Simmons. There's the three-point shooting, you know, there's the toughness and grittiness defensively. There's the just overall intelligence and, you know, pervasive savviness of him as a player. You know, he's an excellent player still, even at 35 years old. So I can understand the idea of landing him in a sign and trade this offseason being enticing. I just, again, think that, like, if the Sixers, you know, win a championship or win the Eastern Conference championship or something along those lines, they might, you know, be a little less ready to take that kind of risk for a player who is in his mid-30s. I think, you know, the length of the time he would be here would obviously be significant, you know, as well as, you know, what the money would look like and all of that, and as well as who they would be giving up. I mean, you know, Matisse Thybulle, Tyrese Maxey, et cetera, these are the type of players that you figure Toronto would continue to have interest in. And they are players, as we have seen, that are valuable for the Sixers in the short term, most significantly Thybulle. Like, he's very important when you think about the playoffs in particular. And then someone like Maxey is only 20 years old, and his development is impressive. So, you know, you're not getting someone like Kyle Lowry for free. You know, Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office will have to, you know, set a bar at which it's too much, as they do with every potential deal. And we shall see what happens. But it's something where, you know, once the season is over, I'm sure we'll have a much better idea of just how likely Lowry to Philadelphia is as a possibility. But there's no doubt, you know, according to this reporting from The Athletic, that it is very much on the Sixers' radar, very much something that they retain interest in. And I fully understand that.
Yeah, it's very interesting to think about, because he could just also go somewhere as a free agent without the sign and trade. I know he's friends with Jimmy Butler, and Miami was a destination he preferred before the trade deadline. So it would be great for the Sixers to bring him in. a lot of things go into it. As you mentioned, like if they win the Eastern Conference Finals, they win the finals, like they would be much more hesitant. What would they have to give up for a sign and trade? But the Raptors don't have as much leverage as they had, what, 2 months ago. So Lowry, if he doesn't want to be traded to a specific team, or he could just walk and the Raptors could get nothing in return. It would be just interesting to play out from as an NBA fan standpoint for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You make a good point about their leverage is not the same, which I think is one of the reasons that folks were very surprised that they didn't pull the trigger before this deadline. Yeah. I mean, Miami, I know there's been mutual interest there documented because of that relationship with Butler and the idea of finishing one's career out in a location like that, I'm sure is appealing. And I'm also, you know, sure Kyle Lowry's intrigued by the idea of finishing things out in his hometown. So yeah, it's hard to predict at the moment how exactly that's going to shake out. But I think one thing we've learned, you know, even in this first year with Daryl Morey as GM, and certainly based on his prior experience, is when there's a big name available to change teams, he is probably going to be in that conversation. Like he likes to make himself very firmly in these mixes, and he likes to let teams know that he has interest and to assess exactly what the market is and if he deems it, you know, the right call to pull the trigger. He's very willing to do that and shake things up. Then again, he obviously feels good about the team he's helped assembled in year one in Philadelphia, and it might not be a situation where that kind of shakeup is necessary or is even the smart move. So we'll see exactly what he does, and it'll be certainly an interesting conversation to have a few months from now.
Noah, before we get out of here, what are you working on over on the website at NBCSportsPhilly.com?
Yeah, I mean, today, as you know, our focus on the website will be all things NFL draft. But yeah, we had our observations off that game last night, and we'll have some content starting tomorrow, looking ahead to the second matchup against the Hawks. So some key storylines to watch heading into that game.
That sounds good. Everyone, check out Noah Levitt's work at NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great dude. He's better than Danny Palmeiro because he comes up in the clutch. As Noah, if you're not watching on YouTube, Noah just shook his head with a slight grin. Noah, thanks for joining us here at Sixers Talk. This was Sixers Talk presented to you by Wilmington University. Wilmu Works.